ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतेरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 90 Summary of Lord Krishna's glories. Text number 18. Tvam yakshmana balavata sigrihita indo kshinastamona nijadi dhitibhikshinosi. क्षीणस्तमो न निजदीदिति वीक्षिणोषि। कचिन्मुकुन्दगदितानियता वयं त्वम् विस्मृत्य भो स्थगितगीरुपलक्ष्य सेनः। त्वं यक्ष्मना बलवतासि गृहीत इन्दो क्षीणस्तमो न निजदीति वीक्षिणोषि। कचिन्मुकुन्दगदिता नियता वयं त्वम् विस्मृत्य भो स्थगितगीरुपलक्ष्य सेना। त्वं यक्ष्मना बलवतासि गृहीत इन्दो क्षीणस्तमो न निजदीदिति वीक्षिणोषि। कचिन्मुकुन्दगदिता नियता वयं त्वम् विस्मृत्य भो स्थगितगीरुपलक्ष्य सेना।
Thank you.
ladies. Vam, you, Yakshmana, by consumption, Balavata, powerful, Asi, are, Grihitaha, seized, Indo, O moon, Kshinaha, emaciated, Tamaha, darkness, Na, not. Nija, your. Dithibihi, with the rays. Kshinoshi, you destroy. Kachit, whether. Mukunda gaditani, the statements made by Mukunda. Yatha, like. Vayam, us. Tvam, you, Vismritya, forgetting, Bho, dear one, Stagita, stunned, Gi, whose speech, Upalakshase, you appear, Naha, to us. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear moon, having contracted a severe case of tuberculosis, you have become so emaciated that you fail to dispel the darkness with your rays. Or is it that you appear dumbstruck because, like us, you cannot remember the encouraging promises Mukunda once made to you? Since there is no purport, we will also read the next two verses. Text 19. Kimna acharitam asmabir malaya nilate priyam govinda panga nirbhanne hridaye sina smaram. O Malayan breeze, what have we done to displease you so that you stir up lust in our hearts which have already been shattered by Govinda's sidelong glances? Text 20. Megha shrimam stam asi daito yadavendrasya nunam Shrivat Sankam Vayam Iva Bhavan Vyayati Prema Baddha Atutkanta Shavala Ridayosmad Vido Bhaspadhara Smritva Smritva Visrajasi Muhur Dukkha Dastat Prasanga. O revered cloud, you are indeed very dear to the chief of the Yadavas who bears the mark of Shrivatsa. Like us, you are bound to him by love and are meditating upon him. Your heart is distraught with great eagerness, as our hearts are, and as you remember him again and again, you shed a torrent of tears. Association with Krishna brings such misery. Purport. The Acharyas explain this verse as follows. The cloud acts as the friend of Lord Krishna by shielding him from the scorching rays of the sun. And certainly such an earnest well-wisher of the Lord must constantly meditate on him with concern for his welfare. Although the cloud shares the Lord's blue complexion, it is Lord Krishna's distinctive features, such as his Srivatsa mark, that especially attract him to this meditation. But what is the result? Simply unhappiness. The cloud is depressed and thus constantly sheds tears on the pretext of raining. So the queens advise him, it would be better for you not to take much interest in Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగరూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపాం సాగరజాతాం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితాం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణా లలితా హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత శ్రీరాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచనా గౌరాంగీ శ్రీరాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమాం విష్ణు పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత ఇతి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషా శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, రామ రామ హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ముఖం కరోతి వాచాలాం పంగుం లాంగయతే గిరిం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే శ్రీగురు దీనతారినం పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీచైతన్యం ఈశ్వరం. హరే కృష్ణ. సీక్ ది పర్మిషన్ అండ్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ అసెంబ్లీడ్ వైష్ణవస్. దిస్ ఈజ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది మోస్ట్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ చాప్టర్స్ బికాస్ హియర్ వి సీ కృష్ణాస్ క్వీన్స్ ఇంటెన్స్లీ రిమెంబరింగ్ కృష్ణ ఇన్ సెపరేషన్. అండ్ వీ హ్యావ్ బీన్ టాట్ ఫ్రమ్ డే వన్ ఇన్ ఆర్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ దాట్ ఆల్ ద డిఫరెంట్ థింగ్స్ వీ డూ ఇన్ భక్తి యోగ, we have variety of activities, variety of rules and so many things we do, positive things, and the essence of everything is what? Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with many examples of personalities who are our heroes because they constantly remember Krishna and they never forget Krishna. And in this chapter we see how the queens are seeing Krishna everywhere, in everything. Like, here it is explained how they are comparing Krishna with the different aspects of the nature. Like, they are looking at Kurari bird and they are saying, is your heart also pierced? You are not sleeping at night. Is that because your heart is also pierced by Krishna's smileful glance? So they are remembering Krishna when they see the bird. Or Chakravaki. Now Chakravaki bird has closed her eyes and generally they cry to when they want their mate to come. And the queens, when they see the Chakravaki bird, what is their petition, what is their address to the bird? They say, oh, you have become servant of Krishna and you are hankering to wear in your braided hair the garland he has blessed with the touch of his feet. So you are like us. So you are also remembering Krishna. And then they are looking at the ocean and remembering, and they are saying, you are always roaring and not sleeping at night. So do you have insomnia? They ask the ocean. Or is it that you are also Krishna has taken away your insignia and you are also hopeless now of retrieving them. So like this they are remembering. Now in today's verse they are remembering the moon. And they are saying, you are so emaciated, you look so weak. Is it you have tuberculosis? Or is it that you are dumbstruck because Krishna has promised you some things and you have not fulfilled, so you are feeling separation from him and you are feeling distressed. And then they talk about that breeze. So like that, they remember, now in the last verse they are remembering the cloud. So like this, so the queens are teaching us how we can see Krishna in every aspect of our lives. They are the pinnacle of remembering Krishna. So this is a similar mood we'll find in the previous chapters, in the Vrindavan section, the 35th chapter, where Krishna, gopis are remembering different aspects of Krishna. There also they see the cloud and they say, oh, my dear cloud, you are best friend of Krishna. Now Srila Prabhupada elaborates in Krishna book. Why the clouds are best friend of Krishna? He says two reasons. One is the clouds have same complexion like Krishna's bodily complexion. Cloud's color is the same as Krishna's bodily complexion. And second and more important reason, Srila Prabhupada explains, is that when somebody is suffering from intense summer heat, and just when the clouds come on the sky, he feels relief. Similarly, we are suffering from the pangs of material existence, the scorching heat of the Trivida Tap, the material miseries attack us. And at such times when we remember Krishna, who is like the black monsoon cloud, or we practice Krishna consciousness, we feel relief from the suffering. Kleshagni, Shubhada, these are the first symptoms of practicing devotional service. And like that, the gopis remember, when they see the deer in Vrindavan, the gopis would look at the deer. Now, you know, in Vrindavan, all the animals, birds, everybody is glorifying Krishna. The bees are humming, the birds are singing. And the deer, they are not able to do much. So the gopis notice that the deer, they just come in front of Krishna and they just stand. And they just look at Krishna with their loving eyes. So they are not able to offer beautiful songs. And like the peacocks, they are not able to dance for Krishna's pleasure. And the gopis say that, oh dear, you are looking at Krishna with so much love. And Krishna is completely pleased by that affectionate look that the deers have. And then the gopis say, oh the deer, you are so lucky. You can go to Krishna along with your husbands. But we go to Krishna hiding. So like that they remember. And then they remember the cows and the calves. How the cows would hear Krishna's flute. And they would stop chewing the grass. They would be just wonderstruck. They would just become stunned in ecstasy. And the calf, they would be drinking milk from the cow's udders, and they would also stop drinking the milk. They would be stunned in ecstasy. And the gopis themselves remember Krishna's flute constantly, 24 hours. Now Krishna was not playing the flute 24 hours. Krishna would be doing variety of activities. But for the gopis, Krishna was playing the flute 24 hours. Because the sound, that music, that transcendental vibration from Krishna's flute would ring in their ears and heart constantly. And they would remember how Krishna, the bees would be surrounding Krishna and they would be humming because they would be intoxicated by the fragrant garlands on Krishna's body. And when the bees would hum, that would blend beautifully with the music created by Krishna's flute. And the combined sound would reverberate. And the gopis' ears, it would enter the ear holes and then their hearts and they would be intoxicated. And even when Krishna was not playing the flute, they would remember that song. Just like, you know, some time ago I was coming in a taxi and that person had played the radio and I had fallen asleep. I was tired and the song was going on. And by the time I woke up and I told him, switch it off, and he switched it off. But then that song was ringing. Even later, when I was walking out of the blue, there was no song going on anywhere, but I could remember that song. It happens with us when we hear something melodious, kirtan, and that rings in our ears for some time. So gopis would constantly remember Krishna's flute. So like this, this is Vrindavan. Baraha pidam natavara vappu karnayo karnikarun. ಬಿಭ್ರದ ವಾಸ ಕನಕ ಕಪಿಸಂ ವೈಜಯಂತಿ ಚ ಮಾಲಂ ರಂಧ್ರಾಣ್ ವೇಣುರ್ ಅದರ ಸುದಯ ಪಾರಯನ್ ಗೋಪವೃಂದೇರ್ ಬೃಂದಾರಣ್ಯಂ ಸಪದ ರಮಣಂ ಪ್ರಾವಿಶದ್ ಗೀತ ಕೀರ್ತಿ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವುಡ್ ಎಂಟರ್ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ವಿತ್ ಅ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಪಿಕಾಕ್ ಫೆದರ್ ಆನ್ ಇಸ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ವುಡ್ ಬಿ ಡ್ರೆಸ್ಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪರ್ಟ್ ಆಕ್ಟರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕರ್ಣಯೋ ಕರ್ಣಿಕಾರಂ. ಕರ್ಣಿಕಾ ಫ್ಲವರ್ಸ್, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಬ್ಲೂಯಿಶ್ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಫ್ಲವರ್ಸ್, ದೇ ವುಡ್ ಬಿ ಟಕ್ ಬಿಹೈಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ರೈಟ್ ಇಯರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ವುಡ್ ಲುಕ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಮ್ಲಿ ಗಾರ್ಜಿಯಸ್, ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಬಿಭ್ರದ ವಾಸ ಕನಕ ಕಪಿಸಂ, ಇಸ್ ಡ್ರೆಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಾಜ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ಯೆಲ್ಲೋ ಗೋಲ್ಡ್. ವೈಜಯಂತಿ ಚ ಮಾಲಂ, ಅಂಡ್ ಈ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ವೈಜಯಂತಿ ಗಾರ್ಲೆಂಡ್ ಆನ್ ಇಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ವಾಟ್ ವುಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಡೂ? ರಂಧ್ರಾಣ್ ವೇಣೂರ್ ಅಧರ ಸುದಯ, ವಿತ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಲಿಪ್ಸ್ ಈ ವುಡ್ ಎಮಿಟ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಸಾಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಫ್ಲೂಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ವುಡ್ ಇಂಟಾಕ್ಸಿಕೇಟ್ ದ ಗೋಪೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ರೆಸಿಡೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವೃಂದಾವನ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಹೌ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವುಡ್ ಎಂಟರ್ ವೃಂದಾವನ್. ವೃಂದಾರಣ್ಯಂ ಸಪದ ರಮಣಂ ಪ್ರಾವಿಶದ್ ಗೀತ ಕೀರ್ತಿ. In fact, the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan and the queens of Dwarka here, they are so intensely remembering Krishna that for them, a moment without Krishna is unthinkable. In the ninth canto, we find this beautiful verse where the gopis are saying, Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna brajat kapola subagam savila sahasam nityotsavam natatrupur drishibir pibantyo ನಾರ್ಯೋ ನರಶ್ಚ ಮುದಿತಾ ಕುಪಿತಾ ನಿಮೇಶ. ದ ಗೋಪೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಹೌ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಮಕರ ಕುಂಡಲ ಡಾಜ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ಇಯರಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಆರ್ನಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ಇಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಫ್ಲವರ್ ಸ್ಟಕ್ ಆನ್ ಇಸ್ ಇಯರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಫೋರ್ಹೆಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಾಜ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ರಾಜತ್ ಕಪೋಲ ಸುಭಗಂ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ ವಿಲಾಸ ಹಾಸಂ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಅನ್ ಇಂಟಾಕ್ಸಿಕೇಟಿಂಗ್ ಸ್ಮೈಲ್, ಸ ವಿಲಾಸ ಹಾಸಂ. And then the residents of Vrindavan feel this is a festival, a constant festival of remembering Krishna's beautiful smile. Nityotsavam na tatrupur. And it's not that they are satisfied. No, they want more. More of Krishna. Drishibir pibantyo. And with their eyes, they are drinking Krishna's beauty. And the men and women of Vrindavan, Naryo, Narascha, Mudita, you know what has happened to them? They have become upset now. With whom? With Brahmaji, Kupita. Why? Nimescha. Because he has given us these eyebrows, because of which the eyebrows blink and we are not able to, the eyelids, they blink and then because of that we are not able to see Krishna for that 1 second, that microsecond. Nimesha. So they just don't want to miss Krishna. That is their intense remembrance. And particularly in this section, in this chapter, what we are seeing is the mood of separation. That Krishna was here and now he is not here. Where is Krishna? Now this cannot be imitated, but it is so nice to read about this. Like when Srila Prabhupada was in New York in the initial days, ISKCON had just been established and young boys and girls were coming and they had no idea about spiritual life and Krishna consciousness. They didn't have understanding. So they were coming for the class and Srila Prabhupada would face challenging questions, sometimes crazy behavior by some of the hippies. And it was bizarre sometimes. And then when Srila Prabhupada was giving class, the questions would also be very strange. Means not strange for them, but for Prabhupada, because he is coming from Vrindavan, the questions would be talking about what's wrong with sex. Or they would not be able to connect to the four regulative principles so much. And Srila Prabhupada was appealing, he was preaching to them, he was giving them Krishna consciousness out of compassion and love. So during these basic topics being discussed in his classes, suddenly one girl, Janki Devi, she asked a question. She said, Swamiji, we have heard that in Vrindavan the devotees love Krishna in lot of separation. They feel intense separation from Krishna. But can you tell us what is that? Now, just imagine, Srila Prabhupada has come from Vrindavan and he's speaking all basic topics and he's telling people, we are not the body, we are the soul. And suddenly this girl is asking this question on viraha, separation from Krishna. Prabhupada's eyes became big. He said, oh, very good question. And then Srila Prabhupada, for a long time, began speaking about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And then he started quoting this famous verse, E Radhe Vrajadevike Chalalite E Nanda Shuno Kutha. Oh, darling son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you? Where are you, Srimati Radharani? Are you on the banks of Yamuna? Are you at Govardhan? Where are you? So Srila Prabhupada entered that mood of feeling intense separation from Krishna, and as he began speaking, his voice became choked with emotion and he stopped and tears started coming from his eyes. And all his young boys and girls were sitting in the class. They didn't know what this emotion was, this transcendental feelings were for Krishna. But they knew that Swamiji is in deep trance and is experiencing something very, very sublime. For they just sat quietly. They didn't know what to do. And there was a prolonged silence, and Srila Prabhupada's eyes closed, lips slightly moving, and intensely absorbed in remembrance of Krishna, in separation with tears, torrents of tears flowing down from his eyes and cheeks. So finally, after a long time, Brahmananda Prabhu was Bruce then, Greg, they were sitting in the front. They are tall, well-built, big bodies. And they also were wondering now what to do. And finally, Brahmananda Prabhu picked up kartals and played kartals, and they started chanting Hare Krishna. So when they started chanting Kirtan, Prabhupada came back to external consciousness. And then Prabhupada continued the class. Srila Prabhupada never made an exhibition of feelings of emotions for Krishna, because you know what happens if it, one could easily imitate this also. Srila Prabhupada was always downplaying his intense feelings for Krishna. He would say, no, it's not important. He would not talk about it so much. Because there is sahajya. Sahajya means taking Krishna and love for Krishna very cheaply. You know, crying for Krishna without practicing the rules and regulations. Crying for Krishna is not bad. Devotees are encouraged to cry for Krishna. The difference between sahajya and a devotee is, of a bona fide devotee of Krishna, is a devotee of Krishna cries for Krishna in separation, but he also follows the four regulative principles. He chants Hare Krishna, prescribed number of rounds. Whereas a sahajya, Srila Prabhupada said, it's like a lady who is not pregnant, but has put up clothes on her, you know, stomach, and she is given an impression of being pregnant, and then she pretends to have labor. Srila Prabhupada said, will, even if you act and cry in intense labor, will the child come out? Similarly, even if we cry and, you know, we imitate, you know, those tears will not be genuine. They will not be filled with emotion of love for Krishna. So this mood of separation, however, is very safe. Kaviraj Goswami gives a nice example. How to understand this love for Krishna in separation? A very nice example Kaviraj Goswami gives in the last chapter of Antelila. You know, it's like a precious jewel is lost, which you already had. Just imagine, we make an announcement. There is a precious diamond right now in this temple hall. Finders, keepers. Losers, weepers. Whoever gets it, it's yours. So what will you do? You will look for that diamond. Right? Oh, diamond, precious diamond. So if I get it, it's mine. So you search for it. But imagine you already had a precious diamond as you entered this hall, and you were sitting in the hall, and then you lost it. And then you realize in the middle of the class, I lost my diamond. So now compare the two situations. Searching for a diamond when you didn't have it in the first place, or when you had a diamond and you lost it, so which one would be more intense? The second one. Because you had. So the gopis of Vrindavan, the Goswamis, Srila Prabhupada, their mood was always, Acharya's mood is, I had Krishna. Krishna is with me, but I lost him. Because of my own Hari Hari Bifale Janama Goainu, Manusha Janama Paya, Radha Krishna Nabajiya, Janiya Shuniya Bishakainu. I am knowingly drunk poison. I am so unfortunate. I had Krishna with me, but I lost him. This is the mood of a Vaishnava. Jagat Karana Tumi, Jagat Jivana, Tum Chhada Koronai, He Radharaman. So devotee is praying that Krishna, you are the cause of the universe, you are everything, and if I leave you, if I give up devotional service to you, Toma Chhada Koronai E Radharaman, then I have no hope. If I lose you, I have nothing. And the next verse he says, Bhuvana Mangala Tumi Bhuvanerapati Tumi Upakhile Nata Ki Hoi Begati. He says, I have left you, there is no hope for me, but my biggest fear is Krishna. Tumi upakhile nata. If you leave me, if you abandon me, what will happen? So it is painful enough for us if we give up Krishna consciousness, but a devotee has this fear. Oh, Krishna should not leave me. Krishna should not abandon me. By my activities, I am making myself disqualified. But I want Krishna. So this is the mood, you know. A devotee, just like lovers, two lovers, when they have their intimate exchanges, they express this fear and concern. Oh, I don't want to lose you. Will you ever leave me? The lover asks his beloved, and the beloved says no. So their love is expressed by the affirmations and by the confidence they give each other that I'll be there for you in thick and thin. So a devotee of Krishna, he is aspiring. He never wants Krishna's association to be denied to him. He always aspires to be with Krishna. This is the mood of the gopis. When Akrura took Krishna, the gopis, Sugriva Goswami describes, evam bruvanam virahatura drisham vrajastriya Krishna vishikta manasa. They gave up their shame, they gave up everything, visrijya lajjam, they gave up their lajja, and rurusma susmaran, they were constantly crying, and what were they saying? Govinda, Damodara, Madhaveti, they were chanting Krishna's names. So this is the one reality of the Krishna consciousness process. This is the highest exhibition, highest expressions and highest feelings of love for Krishna. Now, let us translate this at our level. We are practicing what is called as Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. We are practicing strict rules, regulations. And sometimes, in fact many times, we don't feel those rich emotions for Krishna. We agree with this. And we hear this, we feel very inspired, we feel very happy when we hear these pastimes. But we are preoccupied with our own petty problems. Oh, why he spoke to me like that? Or why he did like this. And then, these emotions for Krishna, which the pure devotees exhibit, appears to be very, very far-fetched to a material mind and ego. And we all have a desire. We want to feel rich in emotions for Krishna. Isn't it? In fact, in the Christian theology, they have this very popular concept, dark night of the soul. There was one Spanish saint, Saint John of Cross. He actually composed this poem, Dark Night of the Soul, where a devotee of God feels utter hopelessness and meaninglessness in life and is not able to connect to God. And there have been many, many saints in Christian tradition who have experienced that they're not feeling reciprocation from God. Like Saint Paul, he says his dark night of the soul lasted 45 years. Mother Teresa, she wrote a lot of letters to her friend, one of her best friends. And after she died, he revealed in an interview to the Time magazine about the contents of those letters, where she's expressing that she couldn't find presence of God in her life. She was feeling that her heart is bereft of emotions for God. And he said in this interview that her dark night of the soul lasted 50 years. So when devotees hear this, they feel scared because we don't want to not feel loved by Krishna. We want to offer the love of our hearts to Krishna. And we also want to receive Krishna's love. We want to feel loved by Krishna, right? So how do we do that? How can we feel Krishna's love? So the foundation of this phenomenon is very clear. We perceive Krishna's love in our hearts, we feel his presence in our lives only by Krishna's causeless mercy. That's why we worship these pastimes. Lord Chaitanya taught us five most sacred principles. Aradhya Bhagavan Braje Shatanaya Taddama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Brajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradarana Para. So our devotee's mood is, we take these Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we take these five as the most sacred principles given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Aradhya Bhagavan Bhajeshatanaya, the darling of Vrindavan, Krishna, he is our most worshipable Lord. And his dham, Vrindavan, is non-different from him. and the gopis of Vrindavan, they are the most exalted devotees of Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam, the spotless Purana, is our shelter, and love for Krishna is the highest goal. So this is worshipable for us. These pastimes which we read of the gopis crying for Krishna, the queens searching for Krishna, this is worshipable for us. Now, having said this, that it is Krishna's causeless mercy that helps us connect to Krishna, that helps us feel loved by Krishna, there is another aspect to this. And what is that? Our endeavor. What are we doing to receive Krishna's love? That is the most important question which we will try to address now for the next few minutes. What could we do? So as practicing devotees, we can and we should ideally do two things. One is invest emotions in our practices of Krishna consciousness. Invest emotions. And secondly, also invest effort, in the sense endeavor. So from our side, we do our duties. Effort means our duties, like following the regulative principles, chanting Hare Krishna, visiting the temple, worshipping the deities, hearing the classes. So this is our duty. Along with duty, we also invest emotion. Like if you take any successful relationship. I was talking to one Grihastha couple who have completed 50 years of their married life. And they were sharing their realizations, very nice realizations. And, you know, they explained how it's not that every day they were feeling love in their hearts for each other. It's not that love is, you know, blossoming. But they mentioned a very nice point. They said that marriage, after the initial few days and few weeks of excitement, it's more of responsibility and duty. So you would say, the Prabhuji said, that I was busy going to office every day. Sometimes I didn't feel like, but I had to go because that was my duty. I had to take care of my family. Love was in the background. Love was driving us. But the feelings and the emotions were not obvious. It was not palpable, but it was there. And the Mataji said, the lady said that I was cooking, and many times I wouldn't want to cook. I was upset, but I was doing my duty, taking care of children. And then, very interesting point he said, both of them confessed. And many times, they said many times we would feel a disconnect because our lives would be so busy. Then we would drop everything off and connect to each other. Spend some time, go for a walk, reconnect to each other. Search for that emotion in the relationship. And then again, it's not that the emotions, because ultimately we are not interested in our sense gratification. We are not interested in our emotions. We are interested in pleasing Krishna's transcendental senses. That is bhakti yoga. Krishna, we want to give pleasure to Krishna. But while serving Krishna, sometimes devotees, if they feel dry, then they pause, reconnect to Krishna through their chanting, through sadhana. So this is the way we connect to Krishna and we look for emotions. One of senior disciples of His Holiness, Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, Vishwambar Prabhu, was once telling that he was very upset once because his life was in a mess. So he went to his Guru Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, and he told him, Guru Maharaj, I'm very upset. Krishna has done this to me. I'm doing so much, but then, you know, I'm very angry with Krishna. And he went on expressing his struggles and miseries. And his spiritual master told him, very good. Congratulations. You are making advancement. He said, what? I'm making spiritual advancement. And Goswami Maharaj said, yes, because you are angry with Krishna means at least you accept Krishna is a person. Now you can invest your emotions in Krishna. You can confess to Krishna. You can tell Krishna why you are angry. So the idea is, it's not that we should be angry with Krishna. The point is, connection to Krishna is important. And this connection to Krishna is what sustains our contribution. See, many times we want to make a contribution. We all want to leave behind a legacy. We want to be part of positive change. But it is connection that precedes contribution and connection that sustains our contribution in the long run. So therefore, we need to do two things from our side to attract Krishna's mercy and to receive Krishna's love. One is, what do? Invest our emotions in our activities. And secondly, do our duties. Just like a loyal husband and a chaste wife would take care of each other through responsibility. Now sometimes devotees ask this question. Is finding emotional fulfillment difficult in Krishna consciousness? Devamrita Maharaj, in his book Bhakti Bhava, he assures you know, it is very easy. And he is such a hope-giving book he has written. You know, he explains how, see, we, in fact, all senior devotees, leaders in ISKCON, they have explained how in Krishna consciousness there is so much rasa, there is so much variety. In fact, if we cannot find reciprocation from God through Krishna conscious practices, how will we find in any other process? Because here there is so much variety, so much rasa, so many ways to connect to Krishna. Unfortunately, what happens to many of us, we have the highest Krishna prem, which is the highest, and we talk about it, love for Krishna. And the other side we have is gross material sense gratification. We don't realize that there is a journey. If you're not feeling love for Krishna, and if you're attracted to sense gratification, that doesn't mean there is nothing in between. In fact, there are some sacred principles and values which if we inculcate, we can come closer to experiencing Krishna's love in our hearts. And then we will realize that these principles are non-different from experiencing Krishna's love. They are so nicely combined, blended, like principles of respect, principles of gratitude, and the principle of offering prayers every day to Krishna. These are the principles that help us connect to Krishna. So, for example, gratitude. Now, to be grateful is something, when we are grateful, we'll realize that immediately we feel some emotion which is more than simply material. I remember, you know, in the last New Year program, 1st January, I did a program and I did an exercise with the participants last year. I said, okay, now the New Year has ended, the old year has ended, now the New Year is going to begin. Let us do one exercise. Everybody had a paper and they had pen. I said, write down the names of 10 people whom you would like to thank this year for whatever has happened in your life, but just don't write thank you. At least write 2 sentences why you want to thank him. You know, many times we say, Prabhu, thank you for everything. That everything is actually a mask. We hide behind that everything. You know? Thank you, Krishna, for everything. What is that everything? Be specific. And that's when we enter the sacred space of positive emotions for Krishna. So these devotees, they started writing. And there is one devotee, a very sweet devotee. I don't want to criticize him. But, you know, he has a little different flavor. He's very cynical by nature. So you would always sit in the back and you would look very dismissively whenever these kind of emotions are spoken about. You talk about practical, come on, let's do seva, practical. So for him, you know, expressing love, feelings, gratitude, he was not very impressed. And he was just looking here and there and he was not even writing those 10 people's names. And I was trying to gently prod the participants, write something. Some of them wrote, some of them are looking here and there. And this particular devotee I observed, he was in the end, not really excited. And he did some formality. The exercise was over, the class went on, then we had prasadam. And then a week later he called me. And he said, Prabhu, I must confess something. That during that program, when you told us to thank different devotees, I just really couldn't do it. But last 2-3 days I have been reflecting. And as I am writing, I am not able to stop writing. And I'm realizing that there are so many devotees have done so much for me. And I never felt so rich in my emotions in Krishna consciousness. Just because I was genuinely thanking devotees for what they have done for me. And this is a very sacred principle in Krishna consciousness. So if you're not feeling loving, if you're not feeling intense separation from Krishna, at least let us feel a connection with Krishna through expression of gratitude to devotees, to others who have done so much for us. Like Kunti Devi's prayers, they are a classic case. You know, if you see Kunti Devi, she is not telling Krishna, Krishna, thank you for everything. Actually, she says that in the first prayer. She says, Yata Rishikesha Kalena Devaki, you saved Devaki. Kamsena, from Kamsa's prison, Kamsena Ruddha Tichiram Sucharpita. Vimochitaham cha sahatmaja vibho tvayeva natena muhur vipadgana. She is saying in the first prayer that Krishna, thank you saved me and my sons from lot of trouble. But she didn't pause there. She specified what was that. Vishan mahagne purushad darshanat asat sabaya vanavasakrichrita mrde mrde neka maharatastrato Dronastrascha Harebi Rakshita. She started specifically thanking Krishna for the poison cake. Now, Krishna was not physically present there when the poison cake was given to Bhima. Purushada Darshanat, when Krishna killed Bhima killed Bakasur, Krishna was not physically present. Now, Kunti Devi could have said, oh, by chance Bhima survived. No, she is recognizing Krishna's help in all the things that she went through, although Krishna was not always present. So many times in our lives, we may not perceive Krishna's presence physically, but the fact that we have lived so long in this life, in the material world, which is Dukkhalayam, Ashashvatam, Padam, Padam, and Vipadam, dangers at every step, the fact that we are still alive and we are hearing this class, that means we have enough reasons to thank Krishna. Krishna has saved us from so many dangers. Any moment we could die. Last week I was going in an auto, and as we crossed the road in India, you know, many times driving can really make you Krishna conscious. And a bus came from the other side and just in 1 second, just missed. And then again, we were all okay. Nothing had happened. We continued. Life is so busy. If you see, just like Kunti was safe from a series of calamities and dangers, we have been safe from childhood. So recalling. So therefore, Kadam Kanan Maharaj once made a very nice statement. He said, we are very interested in seeing Krishna. But before seeing Krishna, let us see Krishna's hand. We can all see Krishna's hand in our lives. How Krishna has protected us. So this is the essence that if Kunti Devi could have, like actually if you see, Kunti Devi's life was not a very happy life. Which mother would be happy to see two of her sons killing each other? Karna, what anxiety, what suffering Kunti Devi went through in her whole life. Now, she chose to be positive. First of all, she chose to thank Krishna for everything that was happening in her life. And secondly, she chose to be happy. She could have complained. She didn't choose to complain. She chose to thank Krishna. In fact, if we can't thank Krishna now, when Krishna has given us so much, how will we thank Krishna when it starts taking away? Because he will take away one day. I remember when Sto Krishna Prabhu was leaving his body 11 years ago, same time around 2006 February he left. So I remember the class that His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj gave, and he was explaining how Sto Krishna Prabhu is very grateful. And if you see, at that time he was just 35, he had a young wife, a child was just born. Somebody would think this is not the age to die. And Krishna was taking away everything from him through as time factor. And he was grateful in that situation. Now for many of us, Krishna is taking away, but we are not able to see that. We are actually experiencing Krishna's generosity right now in our lives. And if we are unable to recognize that and acknowledge and thank Krishna for what he has given us right now, how will we thank when Krishna starts taking away one by one? You know, and we never realize that this body is so fragile. Every moment we are being stripped off. Actually, this body only gives pain. But such an illusion that has enwrapped our consciousness. Like how many of us are smiling right now because my kidney is proper or our livers or pancreas is okay. These things don't cause us smiles and pleasure. But one of them starts not functioning. So, we have enough reasons to thank Krishna. So, gratitude is one very important principle. And any of us can practice it. So, no one can complain. We can never feel helpless in Krishna consciousness saying that, oh, I am not feeling Krishna's presence. There is no taste in bhakti. I am feeling dry. How? No, we can't. We don't have to, because gratitude is something we can practice every day. Now, along with gratitude, the second very important and sacred principle is the culture of respect. Because respecting other devotees, we immediately connect to Krishna. Many times we don't feel love for another person, which is also quite possible. You know, we can't just be loving relationships with everyone. But respect just for the basic fact that this person, you know, he is respecting the basic dignity of life. Now we are Kanishtha. If we identify ourselves as Kanishtha, a lower class devotee, third class devotee, and we want to rise to the Madhyama platform, then respect is what brings us there. In fact, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this whole section on third class devotee, second class and top class devotee, how to rise. So there Jiva Goswami writes a purport that the top class devotee is he who sees Krishna in the heart of all living entities. And then he says, if you want to rise from the lowest level where we don't perceive Krishna's presence at all, and if you want to rise to the top level, then we have to come to the middle level, Madhyam Adhikari level. And the qualification of a Madhyam Adhikari is, he starts seeing Krishna in the heart of devotees. Because if we can recognize that this is a devotee of Krishna, then we can eventually come to the stage where we can see Krishna everywhere. So basically, we have many pastimes in the scriptures. We have examples of how respect is sacred. Indra didn't respect his guru, Brihaspati, and we know what happened. He lost all the grace, all the power. Roma Harshan was a great accomplished scholar. He was giving class on the Puranas. But Lord Balaram came and with a blade of grass, he just killed him. Because Roma Harshan refused to follow the principle of respect. Now you may say, oh, but Balaramji killed him. Did Balaramji respect him? Balaramji was teaching us a principle. In fact, Lord Balaram practiced this principle very much. Because after killing Roma Harshan, immediately all the sages expressed their disapproval of the act and Lord Balaram immediately accepted. That is, he didn't take a bunch of grasses and throw at them also. He could have done that. He's a supreme lord. And we have so many examples. Lord Ram respecting and worshipping his spiritual master. Krishna worshipping Sudama. And Lord Chaitanya not only respecting Sarvam Bhattacharya and great scholars, even those who criticized him, Ramchandrapuri, was given a lot of respect by Lord Chaitanya. So respect, gratitude, and I think one of the best examples in the scriptures is of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. We have a classic case of how Lord Chaitanya was feeling intense separation from Krishna in Jagannath Puri. Kaviraj Goswami says that just like we were reading today about the queens feeling intense separation from Krishna, we have heard about gopis feeling. We also have Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri crying in separation from Krishna. Now Kaviraj Goswami says, he appeals to all the readers, which is all of us, please hear about Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies with great faith. Tate vishvasa kori shuno bhavera varnana, hoibe bhavera jnana, paibe Krishna prem. He says, if we just hear about Lord Chaitanya's crying in ecstasy, we will also get premadhan, we will also get love for Krishna. And then, let us understand what is Lord Chaitanya's situation. He is non-different from Krishna. He is feeling intense ecstasies for Krishna, but he never fails to forget the principle of respect. Now here we don't have any emotions for Krishna, but still we find it difficult to respect others. What an irony. So what is Lord Chaitanya's mood? So Kaviraj Goswami says, Lord Chaitanya would be sleeping in the night and he would be not sleeping, he would be only crying in separation. And one particular night, ek din Mahaprabhu kariya chen shayan, Krishna rasa lila kare dekhila swapan. So Lord Chaitanya was sleeping and he dreamt about Krishna performing rasa lila. And in that dream, he saw only Krishna. Tribhanga sundara deha murali vadan pitambara van mala. So in this verse he is saying, Tribhanga Sundara Deha Murali Vadan. He saw the threefold bending form. He saw the flute in Krishna's hand. Pitambara Vanumala. He saw that Lord is dressed in yellowish garments and he has a beautiful forest garland. So he is fully absorbed in Krishna. And Govinda is waiting outside. He is seeing that Lord Chaitanya has not woken up. So he goes and humbly wakes up Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya wakes up and he starts lamenting that what I experienced was only a dream. Krishna was not actually present. and he starts crying more, more. And in great anticipation, he goes to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. And he's fully absorbed in seeing Krishna in Vrindavan. That is his mood. And at that time, as he is taking darshan of Jagannath, now he would never go beyond the Garud Stambha. That is a deity of Garudji. Because he felt Garudji is a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. If Garudji is seeing, and if I am behind Garudji, Jagannath would see Garuda and he would see, oh, I am standing next to Garuda, so I will also get mercy. Because I am not qualified to be a devotee who can go directly in front of Lord Jagannath. That was his mood of humility. So he was standing behind the Garuda Stambha and taking darshan of Lord Jagannath. And he is absorbed, he is crying for Krishna in separation. He is in the Vrindavan mood, and at that time one old lady from Orissa, you know, one of those women, you will find them in large numbers in Vrindavan and Puri. You know, they are shaven-headed, they wear this white cloth, they are very, they are alone basically. They are absorbed in Krishna, they give up their family. And she, an old Odia woman, she saw Lord Chaitanya taking darshan of Jagannath, and she wanted to also see Lord Jagannath, and there was a lot of crowd. So what she did, she ran and she climbed on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder, and then she held the Garuda Stambha and she was taking darshan. And Govinda was standing right there. He saw this. He was shocked, because you don't step on Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Lord, and even if you don't consider him as the Supreme Lord, he's a sannyasi. And you can't step, no one can step on his body like this. So Govinda hurriedly pulled her down. And immediately she realized her mistake, and immediately she begged forgiveness. I'm sorry, I was so excited that I just climbed on your shoulder and I took darshan, I'm really sorry. So then she went away begging forgiveness, and Lord Chaitanya, he looked at Govinda, and he was upset, not because the lady climbed on his shoulder. He was upset with Govinda, and he called him an uncultured, uncivilized man. Tara arthi dekhi prabhu kohite lagila. Lord Chaitanya looked at Govinda and said, Tara arthi dekhi prabhu. Seeing her eagerness to see Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya told Govinda, what? Tara arthi dekhi prabhu kohite lagila. Eta arti Jagannath more nahi dila. This kind of eagerness Lord Jagannath has not given me. So immediately he realized that he is not having so much devotion like this lady has for Jagannath. And then he analyzed the situation. Lord Chaitanya gave an analysis to Govinda. He said, this lady's heart is filled with Jagannath. Jagannatha vishtayar tanumana prane. Moraskanda pada diya che taho nahi jane. Jagannath avishta here. Tanu mana prane, our body, mind and our whole life existence is filled with Jagannath, and therefore moraskanda pada diya che. Therefore when she stepped on my shoulders, taho nahi jane, she didn't know what was happening. Therefore she is the most fortunate woman. Aho bhagyavati yai Vandi Arpai. I offer my respectful obeisances at her lotus feet. Now this is an insignificant Odia elderly woman who is coming there for darshan, unknown to the world. She is not a great sannyasi, a great preacher, a great leader. But Lord Chaitanya recognized her as the most fortunate woman. Aho Bhagyavati Vandi Arpai. Yara Prasada Oiche Arti Amarvahai. See, if I get her mercy and blessings, I will also develop the same eagerness for Jagannath which she has. Now remember, Lord Chaitanya is expressing these emotions when? When he is seeing Krishna's form, he is getting dreams of Rasalila. He is absorbed in Krishna, and in that absorption, the principle of respect is there. So these principles are not separate. It's not that if I am advancing, I forget devotees. And then Kaviraj Goswami says that after this incident, Lord Chaitanya came back to external consciousness. So we may imagine external consciousness means he would, you know, we generally think of external consciousness means thinking about eating, sleeping, things like that. But for Lord Chaitanya, external consciousness meant Kurukshetra Deki Aila, Deki Aiche, Kurukshetra Deki Krishna Aiche Hoila Man, Kaha Kurukshetra Aila, Kaha Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya is now feeling that I was in Vrindavan till now, but alas, I have now come to Kurukshetra. I am here. Where is Vrindavan? So for him, external consciousness was also being with Krishna only. And then he says, Pailu Vrindavan Nata, Punahara Ilun, Kemore Nileka Krishna, Kahamui Ainu. Where have I come? Where have I, how have I lost Krishna? How did I lose Krishna? So this is interesting. Here is a personality who is absorbed in Krishna, but never forgets to respect. And what happened the next day when Govinda saw, as usual he would go in the morning, and he saw, generally Lord Chaitanya would be crying intense separation in Gambira, and there were 4 or 5 doors, and inside he would be crying. And sometimes Lord would run away, so Govinda would lock the door from outside. So he had locked the door from outside, and suddenly he stopped hearing Lord Chaitanya's crying. So he was suspicious, so he opened all the doors and went inside, and he was more shocked because he saw Lord Chaitanya is not there inside, and he was wondering how can he disappear because I have locked the door from outside. But then all the devotees began a frantic search all over Jagannath Puri. Where is Lord Chaitanya? He is missing. And with lights they started searching, and finally they found him outside Simhadwar. His body had elongated, he was experiencing all ecstatic symptoms. And saliva was dripping from his mouth, his eyes were raised upwards. So all the devotees thought he's left this world. And then when they came, they started chanting Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya came back to external consciousness. And Govinda and Swarup Damodar asked, my dear Lord, how did you come here? The door was locked. And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't know. I saw Krishna. Krishna came to me and gave darshan. In a flash of lightning, he appeared, and then suddenly he disappeared. And then I don't know what happened. So devotees knew Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting and going through intense, the highest ecstasies possible in love for. Nobody ever has experienced in the past these kind of ecstasies, and nobody will ever experience this in the future, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experienced. And here is a person who is very careful, very conscientious, because that time what happened? Lord Chaitanya saw the Chatak Parvat, and he began running, thinking of Govardhan, and he started chanting this verse, Hantaya Madri Rabala Haridasa Varyo, where the gopis are glorifying Govardhan. And when Lord Chaitanya started running, the devotees thought, oh, Lord Chaitanya will injure himself, because Lord Chaitanya had this ecstasy, and sometimes he would run. Once he ran full speed, and he jumped into a dry abandoned well. And devotees came running, and when they saw Lord Chaitanya has fallen into the well, but miraculously that well was filled with soft butter, and Lord Chaitanya was floating on that butter. On another occasion, Lord Chaitanya ran, remembering Krishna, and he fell on a thorny bush. So devotees are concerned for Lord's safety, so they ran behind him, and Lord Chaitanya ran, and he came close to Chatak Parvat, and he fell unconscious. Now while they were running to protect Lord Chaitanya, there were elderly devotees like Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, and there was Bhagwan Acharya was lame, so he could not run so fast. So they were going little slow. The other devotees ran faster, and when they came there, they saw Lord Chaitanya is lying unconscious in ecstasy, for they started chanting Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya came back to external consciousness. When Lord came back to external consciousness, he started chastising them, saying that I was in Vrindavan plucking flowers, I was at Giriraj, I was assisting Radharani, and you have brought me back from Vrindavan, why do you give me pain? Apparently he was scolding them, but he was experiencing highest ecstasy. And as he was weeping and crying, all the other devotees were also crying, for this is highest exhibition of ecstasy. And at that time what happens? Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Bhagwan Acharya, they were all very behind. Now by this time they reached. And when they reached, and Lord Chaitanya immediately, seeing, because they were senior to Lord Chaitanya, immediately Lord Chaitanya folded his palms and offered respects to them. And then he asked very shyly, what brings you here? And they said, Lord Chaitanya, we have come to see you dance. And immediately Lord Chaitanya smiled and he said, let's start kirtan. So ecstasy is there, but respect is also simultaneously there. When Lord Chaitanya would be sleeping, sometimes he would come out and he would see Govinda, his servant, is sleeping, and it would be a little cold and he wouldn't have a shawl. So Lord Chaitanya would put his own shawl on Govinda's body. So therefore we see that a devotee never fails to follow this principle of gratitude and respect. And thirdly, another important principle that can help us keep mental hygiene, especially in this degraded age of Kali, when distractions and temptations are attacking us non-stop. One of the most powerful principles is the culture of prayer.
Srila Prabhupada said, as a young boy, he and his sister, even when they would be flying kites, they would be thanking Krishna and praying to Krishna. For everything they were remembering Krishna. As a young boy, he would worship Radha Krishna deities, and when Prabhupada went to college, because he was busy with Indian nationalism and politics, he couldn't worship his deities. So one day, because he was always practicing praying to Krishna, these deities came in his dream, because Abhay, as Prabhupada was known then, he had kept these deities in a cupboard and he had stopped the worship. For the deities came in the dream and told, Abhay, why have you kept us locked in a cupboard? We want to be worshipped by you. So Srila Prabhupada had this practice from childhood. And you may say, but I never remembered Krishna when I was a child. I was growing up watching Superman and Batman. So what? So there is nothing to lose. We can always begin now. Bhakti Tir Swami Maharaj, he said one very nice point. He said his mother taught him this practice, that you should pray every day. And prayers means, Maharaj was saying, that pray, keep praying until something happens. A devotee said it's push principle. Pray until something happens, which means, till you feel the connection, don't give up. Now, it may not happen every day, but we need to endeavor to pray to Krishna. One devotee was reading The Journey Home. He was telling me that the very first page he read, where the author explains how, as a young boy, Radhana Swami Maharaj explains how, as a young boy, he would sit up at bed and pray, and he would feel a sense of shelter. And very interesting, he says, I felt somebody was listening to me when I would offer prayers. So what this devotee started a practice, and he told me not to tell his name, so I honor his desire. And he said, he practices this principle, that he doesn't begin the day or end the night before he connects to Krishna through prayer. So he says, as soon as I get up from the bed, I don't get up from the bed, I don't rise till I feel that connection. And at night before sleeping, I just don't go off to, and sometimes if I'm busy, at least either in the morning or at night, at least once a day, I do connect to Krishna. And for more details also, we could read Devamrit Maharaj's book, the Bhakti Bhava, where he explains about how we should spend time with deities and offer prayers. So essentially what I wanted to speak today, the essence is, you know, the respect, gratitude and prayers. What we are basically talking about is, it's all about our choice. Do we, you know, it is our choice, our responsibility to connect to Krishna. That's it. That is a simple laak baat ki ek baat, as they say. Because what happens many times as we get older, we become cynical in bhakti. You know, the simple things which attracted us in the initial days, they don't seem to be so exciting as we get older. Like in the initial days, even small things devotees did, we would say, Hari Bol, we would be happy. And as you get older, you know, some of the best devotional practices we hear, and we are like, we just get cynical. And what happens, how Maya gets us, just see, our cynicism masquerades as wisdom. Oh, I'm very wise. No, I can see through this, you know, I can see through this. It's actually, we have been cheated. Our minds are cheating us. So I remember one brahmachari in the ashram, after morning, just before Mangalarti, he was getting ready to come to the temple hall. He was putting tilak, and as he was putting tilak, he was singing loudly, bhajan, Hare Krishna. I was very happy. And there were two devotees behind him. I heard these two devotees talk. One devotee saying, Hare, just look at him, he's so ecstatic, so blissful, he's so eager to go for Mangalarati, to see Krishna. And the other devotee, he was at his cynical best. So he said, Hare, there's nothing great about it. You know, basically, you don't know his problem. You know, he has a serious problem. So the other devotee said, what? I thought he's ecstatic to go for Mangalarati. So the other devotee said, it's no big deal. You know, basically, he's suffering from constipation. And today morning, I think he's cleared his stomach and he's feeling relieved. And that's why he's singing loudly. That's all. So when I heard this conversation, I immediately realized that the first devotee chose to be positive. It was a choice. The second devotee chose. Now, what we choose, that's what we get. So now, it may have been a reality that he was constipated, and it may have been a reality that he cleared his stomach and he's feeling relieved, and that's why he's feeling happy. But that's none of our business. If I choose to believe, or if I tell myself, oh, he's so nice, he's remembering Krishna, he's excited for Mangalarati, oh, I wish I was also ecstatic like this. So immediately I'm entering the space of gratitude, respect, positive energy, you know. I enter that field and I attract grace. I remember once in Vrindavan Yatra, a small yatra we were going, and then from Vrindavan to Govardhan there is a long stretch, there is a road. And early morning at 4:30, the driver stopped the, it was a big van, and he stopped the vehicle and he said there is no petrol and the vehicle won't go ahead. And 5 o'clock, where do you get somebody with petrol? Gas, how can we, what can we do? We were just sitting there waiting for something to happen. It was dark, the sunrise had not yet happened. Now, because I was a manager that time, I was, you know, managerial experience. I was just thinking what to do, how to do. And suddenly, I saw one elderly Brijvasi Babaji, old man, coming walking with the lota. Now, generally in villages, in Vrindavan, if an elderly person is walking with the lota early in the morning to the fields, you would imagine he is going to respond to the call of nature. But here he walks with that lota directly to our vehicle. And he looks at us and he says, do you need petrol? Do you guys need petrol? And immediately the driver said yes, and he took it, and it was sufficient for us to reach Govardhan. And we paid him and it was done. And then I, as a manager, I was, okay, done, get in fast, we have to reach, we have to start the parikrama before 5:30. But later on, after the yatra, the devotees were recalling their realizations. Many devotees said they felt Krishna reciprocated. And I realized, I never realized that. Because I was thinking of getting things done managerially. Abhiye karna, okay, this is done, that has to be done. So many times in the hurry, in the urgency to get things done, we forget to see the Krishna factor. Now, it may have been a coincidence, logically speaking, but why believe in such a theory? Why not actually, and the reality is, Krishna sent him. I remember once we were in a Govardhan parikrama. Now, as we were completing the parikrama, it was very tiring, it was hot, and one devotee was telling, Prabhu, you know, if, and he's a South Indian, so as the Govardhan parikrama was coming to an end, he was saying, you know, I'm feeling so tired, I'm remembering my mother, you know, at home she would cook hot rice and rasam and feed me. How I wish I get some nice hot rasam and rice. And then as we were completing the parikrama, suddenly there was a ISKCON stall. And believe it or not, they were serving hot rice and rasam. And they saw us, the devotees, and they said, Prabhu, come. And they knew the devotees. And this devotee had, we all had nice prasad. And then immediately as we completed the parikrama, this devotee was so conscious, so thankful to Krishna. Now see, again, we had a choice here. We could have thought, okay, now I was hungry, I'm full now, I'm happy. Now next what? Next I have to plan my trip back to Vrindavan. And after that I have to do, we are always thinking about the next thing to do. I have to do this, then I have to do that. But what about the present? Right now, Krishna has reciprocated with me. Let us savor this moment. Let us connect to Krishna now. This is a classic case. It is actually Giriraj fulfilling your desire. But we could always, if we want, we could think otherwise. So basically the point is, the feelings that we experience in Krishna consciousness, these feelings just don't, of course, it's Krishna's mercy. We accept it's Krishna's causeless mercy. But from our side, the feelings come when we choose certain thoughts. We have to make a choice. We are not helpless. You know, sometimes we say, Prabhu, he makes me mad. Prabhu, he is the cause of all my misery. No, that's a lie. Our thoughts determine our feelings. Because the same, you will see, a same situation, two devotees think differently. Two devotees feel differently. Have you experienced it? Once in a yatra, our bus broke down and it was dark. So bus broke down, same situation, I saw all the devotees in the bus, everybody had a different feeling. One person felt very miserable and restless. Oh, when will we reach the rooms? And the other devotee I knew from many years in the ashram, he always had an adventurous spirit. He was saying, wow, great, we can explore the dark forest here. We can go, we can come after some time. So same situation, just see the same situation, one fellow is excited. The other fellow is nervous. And the third brahmachari, he said, wow, good, I'll go off to sleep, wake me up when we reach the room. So somebody felt relief, somebody felt restless, somebody felt excited. For the situations are same for all of us. You know, that like, you know, if you're in a plane and the plane, the pilot announces, okay, ladies and gentlemen, the plane is about to crash, but we have parachutes for everyone. Don't worry. Now, this announcement happens. What do you think will happen to the passengers? Some of them will shriek and scream and they will be in agony. And some others who always wanted to use a parachute. I remember once Mayapur Yatra, one group of devotees got stuck in the traffic. And the other group of devotees in the train waiting for these devotees to come, and the train started. And one of our brahmacharis, his job was to stop the train so that the devotees reach just on time. It was like a movie thriller. So this devotee said, and all other devotees were in anxiety, but this devotee was always happy. He was wishing that the devotees become just a little late so that he has enough time to pull the chain. Because he said, from childhood I had a desire to pull the chain. So you see, what I'm saying is, it's the same situation. It's all our choice. So sometimes, many times we think, oh, I'm feeling bad. No, we have chosen certain thoughts. And that has caused this. Once my dear friend Baldev Prabhu called me. He said, Prabhu, you have to come for this Avyayas Yatra and you have to give these lectures. And I was already held up with a lot of tight schedule. And my immediate response was, no, I'm not coming. And then he is also a tough person, you know, he's a very good devotee and a very good manager. So he kept negotiating, talking for half an hour on the phone. We were talking back and forth. Then he said, okay, next year can you come? I said, no, I cannot commit. Okay, next year. So 5 years, he finally took a commitment 5 years down the... Very, you know, he is wonderful Vaishnava. So he got his job done. And then he kept the phone. Now, when he kept the phone down, and suddenly that phone call had disturbed what I was already doing. Now, what has happened to me in that situation is, I realized, I just tried to connect to myself at that moment, and then I realized that right now I have three choices of how I think. First choice is, Baldev Prabhu is so nice, he has offered me a chance to serve. That means there is some value for me, I am worthy, I can be of some service. I am valued. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you for this opportunity. It's another thing that I cannot do this service, but I am happy, I am grateful, and I could have thanked Baldev Prabhu. This is the first choice I had. What is the second choice I had? Now Prabhu has realized my value. He never calls me, but now when he wants me, he is calling me. See? Now he's learnt his lesson. So if I think like this, this is a choice I have. If I think like this, what feelings I will get? Pride. I will attract rajas. A lot of passion. And mode of passion means lust, envy. All these things are just, they just flow. They just come. For the kind of thoughts we choose. And the third, of course I had a third choice also. You know what are the third choice I had? Oh, this confirms nobody loves me. See, he calls me only when he has some work. I am so lonely here. They're all selfish. Now, I could choose any one of the thoughts. And what happens if I choose this one? I enter tamasic field. I enter the mode of ignorance. So basically, this is the way our lives are. If we choose certain thoughts of gratitude, of appreciation, respect, and we choose to pray, to connect to Krishna, then if Krishna is pleased with us, he will fill our hearts one day surely with feelings of love. And actually these feelings, these emotions, these principles, they actually give us love. So to conclude today's class, we discussed about the gopis of Vrindavan and the queens of Dwarka who are remembering Krishna by seeing Krishna's presence in everything. In the Kurari bird, Chakravaka bird, the clouds, the moon. And the gopis in Vrindavan are also remembering Krishna, seeing the clouds, the bees, the deer. And then we saw how Srila Prabhupada, also in New York, he showed how this is the highest exhibition, highest emotion. And then we discussed how to translate these emotions for Krishna at our level. And we do that by understanding that this is Krishna's causeless mercy alone that can help us. And we discussed how the dark night of the soul, people go through prolonged dryness. And if you want to avoid that, we need to understand that a relationship with Krishna is like that of a loyal husband and a chaste wife who for years remain together bound by duty and love, and they seek to connect to each other. And then we discussed how we can find emotional fulfillment in Krishna consciousness by practicing three principles of respect, gratitude and prayers. And for gratitude, we discussed the example of Kunti Devi and how if we are grateful to Krishna now, when Krishna is giving us, we'll also be grateful when through time Krishna will take away everything. And then we discussed the principle of respect, where we discussed how we can see Krishna's presence in the heart of all living entities if we start seeing Krishna in the heart of other devotees. And then we give examples from scriptures like Balramji, Lord Ram, Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, especially in Jagannath Puri, where he respected an old Odia woman, and he respected all kinds of devotees. Insignificant devotee, Orissa woman, senior devotees like Paramananda Puri, and those who were juniors to him, and like Govinda, equals, he respected them, all classes of devotees. And finally, we discussed the principle of prayer, where we try to connect to Krishna through a prayer session. And then we concluded by talking about how it's all ultimately a matter of choice. If we choose to connect to Krishna, if we choose to think positive, if we choose to respect, and accordingly we'll develop feelings for Krishna. So therefore, to conclude, I would like to remember one very famous coach. He, whichever team he coached, that team would always win the championship. So he was asked that, what is the secret? How come you are able to get success in all the teams that you coach? So he said, my principle, the formula is very simple. I always focus, my mantra is, be brilliant on basics. There are some basic things, just become brilliant on that rather than keep discovering new techniques. So in Krishna consciousness, we have some very basic things like what? Being grateful to God, respectful to devotees, and praying and serving sincerely. So if you practice this, we'll all also feel one day the same loving sentiments that the devotees here are showing for Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, there are few announcements. Next journey of Self-Discovery course is going to be held from 7th.